Welcome to this portion of Focal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Brett Smith, who has collaborated on a project with Chuck Dixon. And basically what it is a graphic novel version of the best-selling book called Clinton Cash by Peter Schweitzer. And this is very important because it deals with some of the allegations surrounding the Clinton Foundation. Brett, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate being here.
Sure. Okay, so this book is, in a sense, a comic book version of that best-selling book, correct?
Yeah, it's adapted via visual storytelling, and a graphic novel is similar to a comic book. The only difference is graphic novels usually run over 100 pages, and in our case, the production value on the book is really nice. We have a hardcover, and it's printed on really nice paper, so it's not your typical comic book, which usually people associate with being printed on newsprint and being kind of cheap.
Yeah.
So it's a sophisticated, high-end comic book.
Huh. And I understand that it's doing really well on the New York Times bestsellers list.
Yeah, we debuted at number one. On the same day, we sold out, which caused a second printing. We also debuted on Amazon number five, four spots from Harry Potter. So it's been wonderful reception.
That's an amazing thing. And I understand that there's even a library in the state of Florida. This is being recorded in the state of Florida, by the way. That's where we emanate from. And anyway, this library wouldn't allow this book on hand, even though it's a bestseller. Why?
Yeah, I just learned about this yesterday. It's hilarious. I guess they have the original version of the book on hand. I think they have a couple copies of Peter's original book, and Peter's original book is great. It's not for everyone though. It's Peter would agree. It's a dry book, and it's 198, I think, pages, and it's for most people it's a tough read, and for people who don't have the fortitude or the time, or maybe the patience to get through it, that's where our book comes in, because ours is fun and entertaining. And I can understand why they don't want it. You know, you don't want the one that's going to be the most effective, more than likely.
Hmm.
But it's really strange.
Yeah. Okay, so you had to actually go through the facts. You and Chuck Dixon had to go through the facts brought out in Peter Schweitzer's book, Clinton Cash, and kind of cull through, and to use the old phrase, to simplify the complex, in a sense.
Yeah, we kind of hit the highlights, but we tell the story of the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation, and also a lot of our book is framed around Haiti. We do tell a story of a Haitian family during the earthquake for dramatic effect, but everything that was in Peter's original book is in our book. We didn't extrapolate or make up anything with regard to all of the exhaustive research and detail that's in Peter's original book. That's part of what makes it really powerful. The only difference is that we use satire and humor and parody and mockery to tell the story. And a lot of people will kind of see it, we use kind of the same arsenal that the progressives have used, against us on the right for 40 years via SNL or The Daily Show. The only difference is we do it kind of back to them in this version of Peter's book, which is a lot of fun.
Okay, let's talk facts now. Okay, in 2010, there was this terrible earthquake in Haiti. The Clinton Foundation raised a lot of money for it, and what actually happened with that money? What percentage went to administration? There's always going to be some administration, right, when you have a charity of any kind, but what's the actual percentage of how much money actually went to help poor people in Haiti? So let's talk about some facts here.
You know, that's been disputed as of late, whether it's 70% goes to expenses. I've heard 90%.
You mean administration?
Yeah, I mean, either way, these expenses are all jet travel, hotels and, expenses certainly did not go to the Haitian people.
Those are terrible ratios. There's an excellent Christian charity down here in South Florida. It's actually one of the best in the country as far as its ratio, food for the poor. And I understand that their administrative costs are less than 5%. And that includes all the fundraising, everything. So,
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. And some of that is cost in kind. So in other words, they get, mm-hmm. let's say, Sundown Vitamins donates lots mm-hmm. of money in kind, and then Food for the Poor shepherds those vitamins to these places ravaged, including Haiti, by the way.
That's wonderful.
You're saying that 70 to 90% of the Clinton Foundation money goes for administration.
Yeah, I mean, that's even been in the press as of late there, because people are starting to focus on the foundation finally. You know, there's finally some press actually looking into this and saying, where does the money go?
Yeah.
And Bill is, apparently, as of today, is irate that people are even asking questions.
Yeah.
And, you know, and starting to look at this thing, because when you really look at it and you really examine it, it is so crooked. And you know, I had heard of Peter prior to doing the adaptation of the book, but I had never read the book. So when I first actually sat down and read Clinton Cash, I got about halfway through it, and I was just kind of, I put it down and I said to myself, how is this going on out in the open?
Yeah.
And the only thing that I can really chalk it up to is there just hasn't been really the impetus to focus on it. And now there is, because she is, you know, running for top law enforcement officer of the United States.
Yeah. And she couldn't even get a clearance, you know, from the FBI. I mean, and that's a different scandal, but for a different day. You know, have you seen the movie Hillary's America by Dinesh D'Souza?
You know, I've seen parts of it. I haven't seen all of it. But,
okay.
You know, Dinesh and I are both, you know, fighting the same, you know,
sure,
fight.
Sure, absolutely. And,
both of us are culture warriors in that sense.
Sure. In that movie, they actually show some people from Haiti who are protesting in the streets of New York City against the Clinton Foundation because, you know, lots of money was raised in their name to help them, and apparently very little of it actually went to help earthquake victims. Well, let's talk about other examples of Clinton cash. You know, the book itself by Peter Schweitzer. I almost said novel, but it's of course not a novel. So let me ask you this: what was to you the single most shocking example of abuse of the Clinton Foundation?
You know, for me, it was Haiti. You know, to be honest with you, that was just the most egregious in my mind, and the Haitian people were just devastated, you know, by that earthquake. And, you know, the fact that they're in worse off shape today than they were after, a couple days after the earthquake, even years after the earthquake, is kind of the most outrageous thing to me. I'd say probably the second thing in the book which really jumped out at me was the 20% transfer of United States uranium to Russia. Just as about $145 million was being funneled into the Clinton Foundation from Russian investors. That was just kind of so off-putting to me and disgusting that I just, how is this happening out in the open? How are they getting away with this? It was just astounding to me.
Okay, give some other examples of abuse of the Clinton Foundation.
Well, and we also cover stuff like Bill's speaking fees. You know, how his speaking fees just absolutely soared during the years Hillary was Secretary of State. And as her profile.
Okay, well, wait. Please, you know, connect the dots here. This wasn't just like free market. Well, we want Bill Clinton. He's a former president of the United States. We want him to speak at our particular function. That will be a good draw for us. And we think the market bears the price. There's more to it than just that.
Well, certainly. I mean, as Hillary became Secretary of State, you know, his fees would go up. As she became a presidential candidate, his fees continued to go up. As her stature has been raised over the years because she, and you know, and now she is the nominee, it's, you know, now people are actually starting to focus on the speaking fees as well, just like they're focusing on Haiti and the details or everything else. And this guy has just gone from, I mean, this guy gets always at like $250 for a half hour. It's just unreal. It's like somebody calculated that it was like $53,000. I think per minute. This is just nuts. And I think it kind of speaks to the overall corruption and cronyism going on in D.C. that everybody is I think finally starting to get, you know, finally sick of. So it's really kind of I keep saying that this election is the haves versus the have-nots, or the country class versus the elites. And the Clintons are absolute, glittering jewels, examples of elitism.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting, too. You know, in some ways, you guys and Breitbart and Dinesh D'Souza, they're doing the work that the mainstream media won't do, really. What if this were a supposedly conservative couple? Oh my goodness!
Well, I gotta remind people that Peter wrote a book called "Throw Them All Out," where he went after both sides. He also wrote a book about Jeb called "Bush Bucks." So, you know, I think it's important to go after both sides. I really do. Where there's corruption or where there's cronyism, that's important, and that is the job of the media. But I've never seen the media protect a candidate like they do Hillary Clinton, even down to now CNN editing, interviews. This is something like I've never seen before. And I keep saying that she's the most corrupt candidate of my lifetime. I'm about to turn 40. And I think that's true. And I also think she's probably one of the most weak candidates the DNC has put forth, which is why the press, has to cover for her so much.
I understand the Clintons bilked the Keystone Pipeline investors. Tell us about that.
Yeah, they bagged millions in speaking fees, mainly Bill did, going around talking about how it was going to create jobs. That's the bizarre thing, is Bill was for it when he was out there giving these speeches. Hillary was always on the fence. She you can never really pin her down. And we've got a great panel in the book where it has Hillary being pulled in two opposite directions. She's being tugged on one arm by a pipeline worker with a hard hat, and he's saying it's going to mean jobs. We got to vote for it because it's going to mean jobs. And then on the other arm, she's being yanked in the opposite direction by a hippie, a tree hugging hippie, who's like, no, it's going to kill the environment. And Hillary's like, well, you both make great points, at the end of the day, Bill, it was just mainly just about her kind of positioning herself on the fence. Maybe so, maybe not, but all the while it's kind of like biding time for Bill to go out and speak on behalf of it and bag millions in speaking fees from investors in the Keystone XL pipeline. And Hillary was the one that kind of held the keys to its fate. So, and as we all know, in the end, it ended up being, voted down.
Yeah.
Not happening.
Okay.
So money.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this. If you had some discretionary income and you wanted to help the poor, would you donate any money personally to the Clinton Foundation based on what you know now?
Oh, absolutely not. It's terrifying to think that. I'm sure some people did donate. It wasn't all just about getting access or favors to the Clintons. I'm sure some people, in some cases, did give money, sincerely. But at the same time, I think most people that give money to the Clinton Foundation understand what they're doing, and that is they're buying access, they're trading access. Even Bill recently said that, of course, we gave some favors. So, it's right out there all, out in the open. It's really just a matter of people picking up the book, reading it, and what's great about our book is that you'll be entertained while you're reading it. It's I like to say that you'll laugh and you'll cry because it is fun. It is entertaining because we use a lot of humor, a lot of satire, and a lot of mockery. But at the same time, you're going to be pretty disgusted and appalled by a lot of the facts you're going to learn. So it's pretty gnarly.
You know what's amazing about this is that you and your co-author or co-illustrator or whatever may end up actually reaching a wider audience than the book your book is based on. In other words, more people might read your book than read Clinton Cash, the original book by Peter Schweitzer.
Yeah, and that was always our intention. Originally when Dan Follett came to me and said, we've got the graphic rights to this and we need a direction, we need a vision, I said, well, let's go for broke. Let's try and reach a widest swath audience as possible. Let's go for everybody. People who are familiar with comics or not familiar with comics, or maybe are just looking for a different way of accessing this information. And I'm a big believer that the medium is the message, as Marshall McLuhan famously said. And I think that for two generations, you have Gen X and Gen Y, you know, we all grew up on video games and graphics and TV and movies, so we're used to visuals, processing visuals, mm-hmm. you know, and information at the same time. So I think this is a perfect vehicle for the information.
All right, excellent. Thank you so much for joining us. Brett Smith, co-author or co-illustrator of the Clinton Cash book, A Graphic Novel. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, sir.
All right, bye-bye now.